Good morning again. Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Romans 2, I'll be reading Romans 2, verses 25 to 29. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his circumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Blessed is the reading of the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. Let's pray. Father, help me unpack the treasures that are here in this paragraph. Help me be faithful to the text, be clear as a teacher to the glory of Jesus, to the salvation of our souls, and to the joy of our hearts. Amen. There's only one true God who created everything that exists. That's not God. And he chose one man, Abraham, through whom he will bless sinful humanity, the whole world. And that covenant, that promise to Abraham was passed down to his son Isaac, and then to his son Jacob, whose name is changed to Israel, and to Israel's 12 sons and their descendants. It is that family, otherwise known as the Jews, who are God's chosen people. So, have you ever contemplated Jew hatred? It's been going on for 3,000 years and it's going strong right now. There is no other answer to that than that it is supernatural. It is satanic. The Jews are the root of God's plan of salvation, of his plan of building a people into an eternal kingdom that Lindsay read this morning, where God's glory will ring out through mercy forever and ever and ever. There is no salvation for anyone apart from the Jews. Do you remember Jesus' words to the woman at the well? You worship as a Samaritan what you do not know. We, the Jews, worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. A Jew is identified as a child of Abraham, one who is in covenant with God. So if you know what is good for you for the longest duration of time, then you want to be an heir of the promise made to Abraham. You want to be a Jew. You want to be grafted into God's chosen people. The way Paul says it in Romans chapter 11. If some of the branches, ethnic Jews, were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, a non-Jew, a Gentile, were grafted in among the others, and now you share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, if that's true, do not be arrogant toward the branches, the Jews. If you are, remember, it's not you who support the root, but the root supports you. So whether a person is born an ethnic Jew or a non-Jew, if you know what is eternally good for you, then you want to be a true Jew. And there's only one way on this side of the cross where that happens. And that's Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to promise. That's what we should take home from this passage this morning. So let's go to it. Let's first recap the context in which this paragraph falls, okay? Starting back at the beginning of chapter 2, here I'm going to summarize what Paul's argument has been. This is what he has said beginning at chapter 2, as he has basically taken one unregenerated Jew, placed him here, and had a discussion in front of all of us. It's what he's doing. And so Paul says, you, as an ethnic, religious Jew, have no excuse before God on judgment day because of your hard and impenitent heart. You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And then he goes on to say, God, he will grant eternal life or eternal wrath at the judgment day according to each person's works, whether they're a Jew or a Gentile. Those who have hearts in true pursuit of God and immortality and for His glory, He will grant eternal life. To those who don't, wrath. And therefore, just being a natural descendant of Abraham with the outward signs and distinctives of the Jewish people and the Jewish culture does not mean you will be declared righteous at the judgment, because it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the law who will be justified, as is being shown by many Gentiles bearing the fruit of obedience to God flowing from their heart of faith in Jesus. But you, Jews who refuse God's mercy, go on dishonoring Him by breaking the moral law of Moses. That's his flow. Now, at that point, Paul hears the reply from his debate partner. We are the children of Abraham, Paul. We have the sign of circumcision. That's the sign of the covenant with Abraham. And therefore, Paul, we're protected
as God's covenant people. Have you not read Genesis chapter 17, Paul? And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generations. And so shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So Paul, we're safe in the covenant with God that he made with us, his chosen people. We have the seal of the covenant. Circumcision of the flesh. And so, as we approach our paragraph, verse 25 is Paul's foundational response to that. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. He just said, circumcision is worthless, dear Jew. It will profit you nothing when it comes to the salvation of your soul from sins, unless you obey the law along with it. In fact, if you're a hard-hearted, without faith lawbreaker, it's as if you're without any covenant with God and his promise that he made to Abraham. You are just like a Gentile. You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment. In other words, the sign of the covenant, your circumcision, has become uncircumcision. You're cut off from the promise of God in the covenant of Abraham. Now, to be uncircumcised, that term that Paul's using here, it meant that a person was a Gentile, which means they were outside of the covenant that God had made with Abraham and his people. For instance, you remember how Paul writes this in Ephesians 2 for a moment. Just hear him. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles, these are Christian Gentiles now who have come to faith in Christ. At one time, though, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. To be uncircumcised, the term means you're outside of the promise of God's covenant. And Paul says, your circumcision has become uncircumcision, my dear Jew, who has not come to faith. Paul's plainly saying that Jews who were circumcised,
who did not keep the law are unsaved. They were uncircumcised in the sight of God, and therefore, in that sense, not part of the people of God. Then Paul goes on in verse 26 and he says, on the other hand, Gentiles who do not have the physical sign of circumcision, they are in a soul-saving covenant with God. And it's evidenced by the sign of the covenant, which is keeping the requirements of the law as the fruit of their faith in God's Messiah. Read it. So, verse 26, so if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision, the sign of the covenant? So the disobedience of the Jews in verse 25 now is contrasted with the obedience of Christian Gentiles in verse 26. The Gentiles who are in the new covenant, where God has written the law upon their hearts through new birth, they're called here uncircumcised. And they're in the covenant. Why? Well, if you know Paul's life and his ministry and what he battled, this is in order to clarify that the obedience to the law that Paul's referring to here does not include physical circumcision. So Paul, what's he referring to? What obedience to the law? He's referring to the moral law of Moses. 10 commandments, how they work themselves out. When he says the Gentiles obey the law, well, they're uncircumcised, not obeying that law that's in Moses, ceremonial law, cultural law. So this means that the cultural laws like circumcision, kosher diet, festivals, those laws that God put in there purposely in order to distinguish his chosen people, the Jews, to make them stand out from all other peoples of the earth, it worked and still works. He's saying, now that Christ has come, Gentiles are gathered in, those laws, non-moral laws, no longer are in force. Paul's making it clear that Gentiles, in coming to faith in Jesus and thus being heirs, inheritors of the promise made to Abraham, are not bound by the non-moral cultural laws of Moses. For instance, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth, saying this: was anyone at the time of his call, this means your conversion to Christ in context, was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Then let him not seek circumcision. Then for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. But what counts for everything is keeping the commandments of God. So Paul writes here in our passage, so if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision?
then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn, or it's the word judge, will judge you who have the written code or letter in circumcision but break the law. So, this is the obedience of Christian Gentiles. Like Paul already laid out in chapter 2. Remember the paragraph there? Look back at verses 6 and 11, where he said, God will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. At the judgment day, the born-again, uncircumcised Gentiles, they'll stand on God's side as the unregenerate, circumcised Jew is judged. The Jew who has the sign of physical circumcision, ceremonial circumcision, and the letter, the written law, but they remain uncircumcised in their heart. Paul just said in verse 13 of chapter 2, it is the doers of the law are the ones who will be justified. Now in verses 26 and 27, the Gentiles, he says, keep the precepts of the law. And then he says it again, but a different word. They translated it badly there. It should be, and they fulfill the law. So how is that happening? He does not use the word faith here in chapter 2. But I'm going to contend faith is certainly the source of their obedience to the law. The unregenerate, circumcised Jews, they miss what the law was all about. The law was for God's people to respond to Him with hearts of faith, trust. Like all the examples we get of the remnant. Joshua got it. Caleb got it. Moses got it. David got it. So, as Paul will go on to make clear in chapters 3, 4, and 5 here of the book of Romans, the way their forefather, Abraham, right? That's why they're Jews. The way that Abraham was justified or declared righteous was by his faith in God's word, his promise. And Paul makes it clear that the way any Jew or any Gentile can be made right with God, that is declared righteous, is by faith in God's word, the gospel. Right? So, note for a moment. Paul, he uses throughout chapters 3, 4, the word counted in English, or impute, or to reckon, right? It's the word logizesthai. He uses it 11 times there in chapters 3 and 4 to refer to what? To one's faith, like Abraham, when they hear the gospel, being imputed, or righteousness, or counted to their account righteousness, which is the gospel that Paul says he's laying out here. It's the righteousness of God that comes by faith, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17.
So the reason I say that same word, reckon, or to impute righteousness, is the same word Paul uses here in verse 26. If a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be, here's the word, counted or imputed to him as circumcision? God will count the uncircumcised Gentile as circumcised because he walks in obedience of faith to God and his law. The point is that circumcision was the covenant sign of belonging to the people of God. To be reckoned or imputed or considered as circumcised means that the Gentile who keeps the law from a heart of faith is part of God's people, the redeemed community. To be reckoned or considered as circumcised, even women, is the same thing as being counted or reckoned righteous. That is, a recipient of the gift of Christ's righteousness to your account. So now, Paul brings his decisive argument for what he has just said now in verses 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, ethnic Jew. Nor is circumcision outward and physical in the flesh, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from man, but on Judgment Day, his praise is from God. So Paul, he reiterates the point he's been making throughout chapter 2, that just relying upon the written law of Moses and physical circumcision and obedience to cultural laws for one's salvation is totally missing the purpose of the law. The law of Moses cannot save you. Only God saves. Only God justifies. Who? Those who come to him with a new heart of faith. And it's evidenced by their walk with God in obedience that flows from that ongoing faith. Since Jesus has come, and the gospel, it goes out to the Gentiles, physical circumcision, being culturally and ethnically Jewish, is unnecessary in order to belong to the people of God. The only thing that counts is being a Jew in secret. As he said, in the heart. The only thing that counts is having a circumcision of the heart. Not by moil, but by God, the Holy Spirit himself, who cuts This is ultimately what the law of Moses itself always taught. For instance, turn to the law, Deuteronomy 10. At the end of those 40 years, Moses declares in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, verses 15 to 16, the Lord, or Yahweh, set his heart in love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Listen to the net. Here's the imperative, the command. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart. And be no longer stubborn. Without the cutting of the heart, otherwise known as regeneration, new birth, a person, any person, a Jew, without that, cannot please God, cannot obey God, cannot love God. That's why Moses himself cries out to his fellow Jews in the wilderness about a future day. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And Yahweh, your God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and your soul, that you may live. It's there all along. A true Jew is a Gentile, or an ethnic Jew with the sign of the new covenant. And that sign is circumcision of the heart by the Holy Spirit. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And that's the eternal issue. Letter versus Spirit. Which raises the question to all Jews and all people raised in the Christian church. Are you merely religious? You got the letter? In other words, you got the Bible? You got the Word of God existing only outside of you in a book? Or has God Himself written upon your heart in circumcision? Cutting away your spiritual deadness to Him. So notice the word letter there. It's the Greek word grandma, not grandma, grandma, where we get our word in English grammar from. It's the same word he actually used in verse 27, but they translated it poorly for us, where he said, and he will condemn you who have the grandma, the letter, and circumcision, but break the law. Now we know why that's true, because they were without the work of the Holy Spirit. The letter
refers to the written law, the Bible, the law of Moses, that is outside of a person only. That's what he means by letter. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. I think that seems to be clear enough. But if you want Paul to make it even more clear, flip over a page or two to Romans 7 for a second, where he uses this word again. In verses 5 and 6 of Romans 7, he writes, "For while we, I Paul, as a Jew, my fellow Jews, while we were living in the flesh," what he means there is, when we were uncircumcised in heart, in the flesh, what happened? "Our sinful passions aroused," how? "By the law of Moses." It aroused our sinful passions. So therefore, our sinful passions, being aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now, since we've been circumcised in heart, we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we now serve in the new way, hear it, of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the letter. Now, to make it even more crystal clear, turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Here, Paul's unpacking for us. I'm going to start with verse 6. I'm going to skip a couple of verses for time's sake, because I'm just going to give you the flow. Paul writes, "God has made us sufficient to be ministers or servants of a new covenant." Hear it. "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." He starts to unpack that now. "Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone under Moses in the wilderness, Ten Commandments, if that came with such glory," which it did, "will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry," here's his interpretation of the ministry of the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses to an unregenerate, uncircumcised in heart people, he calls it the ministry of condemnation. "For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory." Now he unpacks his fellow ancestors. But their minds were hardened. "For to this very day in the first century, when they," my fellow unregenerate Jews, "read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." And now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That's his unpacking of what he began with. A new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
So Paul was clear. A Jew who has both the letter and has circumcision, but not a new heart by the Holy Spirit, those two blessings as a Jew cannot produce righteousness or salvation. Without the Spirit, they only produce breaking the law. That's Paul's theology. That's the old covenant. By contrast, the new covenant is the promise of the Holy Spirit coming into the person, giving them a new heart of faith, and thus the ability to walk in obedience to God. That's the new covenant. Remember the prophecy 600 years before Jesus shed his blood for the new covenant through Jeremiah 31? Hear it. Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, my covenant that they broke. The old covenant. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Ezekiel unfolds that very same new covenant this way. God says through him, and I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, hard-heartedness, and give them a heart of flesh. Now hear it. Why? In order that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. That's what Paul is saying. If a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? For a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. Okay, one more. Because in Romans now itself, Paul works that out for us, that this keeping the precepts of the law in Romans 8, after he has made crystal clear that no Jew or no Gentile could ever be right with God. There's only one way, and that is through faith alone, apart from any works in their life, in Christ alone. And then he works this out, because that only happens by circumcision of the heart alone to produce the faith. And so the whole problem that Paul has already been saying, and he will now say again, is that the law of Moses was given to unregenerate hearts, and all it can do is produce condemnation. The law did not have the power to change the human heart. Only the new covenant does, which is God's promise of the work of the Spirit to keep it. So, Romans 8, just begin with verse 1. Paul writes, now that you got the gospel, are you a believer in Jesus? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death when you were unregenerate.
For what happened? God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, that is our sinful natures. The law was holy, righteous, and good. Nothing wrong with it. It just didn't have the power to change our deadness to God, our sin nature. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. And then He has a purpose clause. And this is His working it out. And He condemns sin in the flesh through Jesus, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to pause for a minute. It is true that Christ fulfilled the law. That's not what He says here. Because He did that, and He is our righteousness, even though we're yet sinners. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk, live not according to the flesh, the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. That's what a true Jew is. He's one inwardly by the Holy Spirit, and thus he fulfills the law. He comes to faith in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, which now enables him or her to live out the moral law of God, not sinlessly, not perfectly, but truly, truly enough to give evidence that he or she trusts in the Lord. So let me close the way I opened. Dear Gentile believer in Jesus, or you, the Jew back there, you are a Jew. Even though many natural or ethnic Jews have been broken off the tree of the Jews, you have been grafted in. Okay. Do not try to rewrite the story of Christianity in order to make it updated and fit our particular culture, because that's too hard to teach to people. Don't do that. Instead, grow. Know the story God has written for all eternity and is recorded in Holy Scripture. You, believer in Jesus, are a Jew. Anybody can become a Jew. And you need to become a Jew, because salvation belongs to the Jews. All one has to do is listen to the good news of Jesus Christ in His sacrificial death and resurrection, and love Him. Believe. Obey His words. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you eternal rest. And when you do that, that is evidence of a circumcised heart that has faith in the Jewish man, Jesus, who is God eternally, the Son, who took away the sins of all who believe in Him by the sacrifice of Himself. And He lived in perfect human righteousness,
which is then freely given to all true Jews. A Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. In his praise, you might not get it from particular people groups down here. It's not from man, but his praise is from God, the only thing that counts. Let's pray. Father, may no soul in here die without first being circumcised in heart. Use your word. We thank you for the instruction through your apostle, Paul, who makes us think deeply and hang with him. But you have done that, and therefore it's worth it. It's worth it to the glory of your holy name in us, whom you have called to be in your Son now, and in the resurrection in the future forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand.